You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
Now, on to another style clash, but on a much more fundamental level. What is the true nature of time? Einstein's theory of gravity, general relativity, tells us that time is stitched together with space to create a four-dimensional space-time fabric. It's dynamic, and it curves and bends around matter. Quantum mechanics, on the other hand, tells us that time is much more in line with our everyday experience. Just ticks away at a steady rate in the background, unaffected by what matter does.
So which of these conceptions of time is correct? To put time to the test, Lawrence Doyle of the SETI Institute is taking a standard tabletop quantum experiment and scaling it up to the size of the solar system, as he explained to reporter John Farrell.
Physicists attempting to develop a grand unified theory of everything have long known that the major roadblock is the fundamental irreconcilability of general relativity and quantum physics. But what if it turns out that time is a major key to resolving the impasse? That's the question that Dr. Lawrence Doyle, astronomer and principal investigator at the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California, hopes to answer. He and his team plan to repeat one of the most famous quantum experiments, the double slit experiment, on a scale never before achieved, the solar system. Doyle's intention is to carry out a variation of the double slit experiment, first proposed by the late Princeton physicist John Archibald Wheeler. I spoke to him via Skype about this project, and what initially got him interested in the fundamental question of time as it relates to general relativity and quantum physics.
The big kahuna is, why has general relativity and quantum physics, why have they resisted unification for 20 years in Einstein's career and 50 years since? And it could be that we're dealing with two different kinds of time. One is built on, in three dimensions, basically quantum assumes flat time, but it is uncertain and you can manipulate the time by stretching the probability distribution of time in which a photon can arrive. Does that probability distribution stretch in four dimensions, which is what relativity is about? Relativity is definite, four-dimensional, and subject to mass, time dilation. And so if uncertainty time can erase relativistic time, we've got a handle on a unification possibility. I leave it to the theorists. But if it doesn't, and I kind of lean toward it not them not being the same kinds of time, then at least we'd know and we could try to unify on the basis of assuming the two times are equal.
How does one go about testing whether quantum time is different from relativistic time? By bringing gravity into the double slit experiment, the classic experiment that shows that light is both a wave and a particle.
Yeah, basically, you shine a light through a hole and it makes a dot on the screen. And you can stop the light down to one, to the electricity, to the laser, down to about one photon a second, say. And you see one pixel lighting up on your screen a second. So you go to bed and you wake up the next day and you've formed a spot. Well, then you open two holes, which is the double slit experiment, and you shine a light and you get an interference pattern instead of two spots. And this reason is because light is a wave. But oddly enough, if you stop the laser down now to one photon a second, and you do the experiment again, you might expect two spots to occur. Instead, what builds up when you come back in the morning, an interference pattern is built up. Now you can see each pixel lighting up one at a time, and you go away, and you come back, you get an interference pattern, and yet you've only detected one photon at a time. So what's odd about this is that the photon, each photon had to go through both slits. So you're thinking, well, that's pretty interesting. That means light is a wave until it hits the detector. And so mainstream Copenhagen interpretation of quantum physics basically says that light doesn't exist as a particle until it's measured.
The challenge now becomes how to imagine this experiment at a planetary scale.
But picture a double slit experiment, but instead of the slits, you have mirrors. And then picture that the mirrors are spherical. They're like little ball bearings. and then you get them going at an appreciable fraction so that the laser you're bouncing off them is Doppler shifted. And then you have a fringe that comes and goes and zooms across your detector in about a millisecond. And then you begin to go, okay, now scale this up to the solar system, and you begin to get an idea. This is a moving double slit experiment where things are flying all over the place. So that's what makes it tough in execution.
So what is the role, then, of the uncertainty principle in the experiment?
Our new thing is we're using the uncertainty principle to erase knowledge of which path the light took, and thereby manipulating the interference pattern coming and going. And then, now, what if instead of mirrors, you stick a mini black hole there? So the mini black hole bends space so that the light is delayed along this path again. But this time it's delayed due to gravitational stretching of space-time. The extra length is stretched, is dilated space-time. And you do the experiment over and you narrow the bandpass here, and the interference pattern comes back. Oh, you've covered up the mini black hole. And if it doesn't go away, if the interference pattern doesn't come back, then the uncertainty principle didn't even see space-time. Space-time goes, I don't care, I warp space-time. You can fiddle with the uncertainty principle all you want. I'm out of that realm.
Since, sadly, Doyle does not have the use of a mini black hole, the next best thing is to use the sun.
And the basic idea here is to use a radar transmitted from Goldstone and detected at our detector at SETI, but also we're going to use the Very Large Array. So you transmit radar and you do a double slit experiment to the two moons of Jupiter, two of the moons that are equidistant. Let's just say they become equidistant and we freeze them that way. Then we bounce radar off them and get an interference pattern back. Then we say to ourselves, okay, let's let them move a little so they're not equidistant anymore. Now we narrow the bandpass at the detector, at our radio telescope array. By narrowing the bandpass, we've increased the precision with which we see the energy interval. We know the energy interval better. So we know the time interval worse. And when the energy interval is squeezed down to the point where the time interval exceeds the difference in the separation of the two moons, we get an interference pattern back. So we can use the uncertainty principle at the detector to make the light travel both paths 45 minutes after it made the trip. But that's not our main goal. Our main goal is that by narrowing the band path, we can make the interference pattern last longer. So we do that experiment and we manipulate the band pass and we recover the interference pattern for a few more seconds, and then it goes away as the two moons pass each other and we have to wait for another conjunction. So we do that experiment several times until we're real comfortable with that, and we're demonstrating John Wheeler's experiment. We're actually performing it and changing something that happened 45 minutes ago. But then, as Jupiter gets close to the sun, the two moons are equidistant, but they're not really, because one of the moons is closer to the sun than the other one. So now we have a delay time, even though the two moons are geometrically equidistant. We have an extra delay time along this moon's path due to bent space-time. So we then narrow the bandpass at Earth and recover the interference pattern or not. If we recover the interference pattern, that means that the uncertainty time interval, which is a probability distribution in three dimensions, can actually erase knowledge of warp space-time, which is four-dimensional and warped. So in other words, that shows if we get an interference pattern back, relativistic time and quantum uncertainty time are the same kinds of time. If we narrow the bandpass so that we should have recovered even the extra bent space-time interval, and it doesn't, we don't get an interference pattern, that means that general relativistic time is fundamentally different than quantum uncertainty time.
If it turns out an interference pattern is lost after the signals pass by the sun, this provides support for the belief that general relativity cannot be reconciled with quantum physics.
But I would say my prediction would be that there are going to be two different kinds of time, and we're going to have another name for time assigned to one or the other, and to try and unify them will be more difficult. But just the more, at first I thought, well, this may turn out to be the same kinds of time. Well, okay, now you can build on it. Now we know. And I thought that would be the less interesting and more probable. But since I've been reading up on loop quantum gravity and things like that, I don't think they're going to be the same kinds of time. And that would explain a lot why unification has not been possible.
Thank you to Lawrence Doyle for explaining his planned experiment to John Farrell. On the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, you can read more about the project in an article by reporter Stephen Ashley.